Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. As you've been hearing on the news, City Council Speaker Christine Quinn gave her annual State of the City address yesterday. Usually, this annual address is an opportunity to give an overview of a wide range of issues. But Quinn made no mistake about what's on her mind. Jobs, jobs, jobs. And that's where we'll start today as well. Let's jump right in. Speaker Quinn joins us now to discuss her proposals. Speaker Christine Quinn, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Christine Quinn, the entire speech on jobs, why such a focused approach?
Well, I wanted to focus just on jobs and the economy because that is the thing that is on all New Yorkers' minds right now. That is the thing most people are worried about. It's the thing that is most significantly impacting their lives. And I think it's job one for all of us in government is to do everything we can to both sustain the jobs we have now, create new jobs in the short term, and position New York so that when the recession ends, we are most able to come quickly out of it. Because if you look historically at New York City and other recessions, we stay in them longer than the rest of the country. Our coming out of them lags behind, and we don't want to repeat that same mistake this time.
We want our listeners to call in with questions for Speaker Quinn, in particular if you're a small business owner in the high tech or green sector, or if you're launching a startup. Give us a call. What can the city do for you? Are there specific programs you would like to see, tax incentives, available credit? Or if you have any other questions for the speaker, give us a call. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Speaker Quinn, are you taking a cue from the national conversation? Of course, we all know the Obama administration seems to have refocused its entire agenda around jobs and employment.
I mean, our cue for focusing this speech, and the speech really is just the setting of an agenda. Our cue for making this our number one focus, though we will do other things, really is what we're hearing from New Yorkers. Now, it may be that what New Yorkers are saying is similar to what the president is hearing in the rest of the country, but this is the thing I hear most from New Yorkers is, I need a job, my child needs a job, or I'm worried about losing my job. There's a high level, and understandably so, of anxiety out there in the five boroughs about jobs and work, and we want to be responding to that. And, you know, usually I think people would say, what can the city do about that? That's a national issue. And obviously it is a national issue. But the truth is, there are things a city can do. There's things we can do to change our positioning, to change our tax environment, and to focus on goals of industries that can build jobs. Now, it may be, you know, manufacturing, small manufacturers at a time, each with 50 or 100 jobs. But if you do enough of those add up. And each of those 50 people in each of those factories, they're working.
Well, let's talk about some of the incentives. Let's talk about small business support. You're launching New York City High Tech Connect.
Yes.
Why the focus on technology?
Well, high tech is a booming industry, and it's an industry which we've seen rapid growth around the country. And it's a sector that I think is going to help pull the country out of the recession. But if you look at New York compared to the rest of the country, we, even though this area is booming, we're lagging behind. We are not leading, and we're in the distant end of the pack as it relates to high-tech startups and the jobs that come out of those. And what people need to remember is, obviously, a high-tech company starts with scientists or engineers. But when that idea becomes a product, and it gets manufactured, and it gets sold, and it gets driven to market, those are jobs in factories for salespeople, for construction workers, for truck drivers. So high tech creates all level jobs. In California, they are beating us every day, creating more high-tech jobs. So we looked at what they were doing in California. And interestingly, what they were doing wasn't spending a lot more government money. They have an entity in San Diego called Connect. It literally connects all the dots and connects entrepreneurs and high-tech researchers with venture capital money, with office space. It helps them navigate the intellectual property rules, and it helps them get going. In about 20 years, they've created 1,000 companies through Connect in San Diego and created 27,000 jobs. So working with the New York City Partnership and our Economic Development Corporation, later this year, we will launch NYC High Tech Connect and create that same type of an entity that can help our entrepreneurs get up and going.
And yet in last year's State of the City, you did talk about streamlining the permit process, cutting down on fines and regulations, setting up business incubators to help train and support startups.
Oh, and the incubator, I don't mean to interrupt you, it's so incredibly exciting. You know, we talked about that last year in the State of the City speech, and working with our Economic Development Corporation, we found an unused old factory warehouse in East Harlem, La Marqueta. We've put out a request for proposals. EDC hired a contractor, and this spring we are going to open in East Harlem a industrial kitchen. It's going to run 24 hours a day, every day of the year, and have enough capacity for at least 80 startup companies. So we've seen through that idea, you can reuse old space, put a small city investment in it, and get people up, and in that case, cooking, but most importantly, up and working.
All right. Let's take a call from Michelle in Manhattan. Michelle, you're on WNYC with Speaker Quinn.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my phone call, and good morning, Speaker Quinn.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I run a communications and publishing firm. I've been in business for 11 years in Manhattan. And I will tell you, one of the greatest burdens on small businesses is not only trying to get credit, but also the tax burden.
Yes.
And how often we have to report. A major, major relief for us would be, particularly as it relates to the amount of revenues a company brings in on an annual basis, is really sort of adjusting the reporting requirements.
Well, you know, Michelle, can I interrupt you? I'd love to talk to you or have you talk to my staff about that more, because last year we worked in Albany and got legislation passed that created business tax conformity to make the state's business taxes and the city's the same, so you didn't have to basically file twice. And the reasons you're raising, that's why we did that, because it may or may not be more money, but it's time and money you having to file twice. So if we can take that idea of conformity further through the experience you're having, we would love to do that. And I think the folks at WNYC, well, you just call my office at 788-7210.
And Speaker, we will assist Michelle off the air.
Ask for Barbara, Michelle, and she'll get you to the right person. But I'd love to talk to you about that.
And Michelle, we'll talk with you off air and put you in touch with Speaker Quinn's office.
Thank
as
you,
well.
Michelle.
Now let me ask you, Speaker, about traditional jobs. Some people might say that we concede high tech to other parts of the country.
Not
and that we
anymore.
Should be, well, some people would say we should be focusing on service and tourism, industry, and other labor sectors.
Well, you know, tourism is one of our best industries. And food, which I talked about, is very, very much connected to that. And one of the things I proposed yesterday, which really connects food and tourism, is the idea of looking at the Fulton Fish Market. You know, when you go to other cities, one of the big draws they often have are great regional food markets. Think of Pike Place in Seattle. 200 businesses, 5,000 jobs, 8 to 10 million visitors a year. We are going to redevelop the Fulton Fish Market. That's happening. Let's do it in a way that prioritizes jobs. In that case, it would be food and tourism jobs, some areas where we have strength. And you're right, we don't have to create new there, we can build on what we have, and maybe some of the folks in the East Harlem Incubator can then go downtown and sell their food.
We have a comment here, Speaker. Bob from Manhattan on our comments page asks, when do you think you will accomplish your proposal? Specifically, what's the timeline, and how will you report back to the taxpayers?
Well, some of the proposals in the speech are ones that our goal is to get them done this year. Others, exactly, for example, how quickly can we convert the Fulton Fish Market? I don't exactly have a time frame on that yet. It'll depend on how long that development process is. But what we do is, if you go to the council's website, we have updates on our different work. And one of the things we update on is what legislation we've said we were going to pass, did we pass it, things of that nature. And also, if people have a particular issue they just don't want, yes, no, it's done, but want more detail on, if they go to our webpage, they can sign up for that as well. But for example, High Tech Connect, that will happen in the next few months. Our banking summit to roll out a new program called Second Look to get more credit for small businesses, that's going to happen next month, the summit, and we'll roll the program out in the months after that. Changing the tax environment, and to get a tax credit for mom-and-pop retailers, we're going to go to Albany on that this year, but, you know, we're going to push, but I can't promise we'll get that done this year, but we're going to fight to get it done, and Fulton Fish Market will happen in the time frame of that redevelopment.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is City Council Speaker Christine Quinn, and one of the things that caught my ear in your State of the City was this program you proposed that allows startups to test their products on city buildings. Can you say a bit more about how that arrangement will work? And what about city contracts? Wouldn't existing suppliers, you know, I'm thinking the, say, existing light bulb supplier in the building I'm sitting in, I mean, wouldn't they be a little concerned about this new startup that's going to come along and outrun them?
You know, the idea here is, if you're developing a new energy efficient light bulb, or maybe a system that uses the power from pipes to generate or water to generate electricity, you have to test that in a real world setting before you go to market to see if it works. Now, it's hard for people, not just in New York, but anywhere, to find the real-world environment to do that in. And it's expensive, and it slows down the time for your idea to get to market. So we thought about, you know, how could we address that? Well, we, like the one you're sitting in and the one I'm sitting in, the city owns a lot of buildings with outlets and pipes and sockets and roofs and things we can use to test. So talking to Martha Hurst, our Department of Citywide Administrative Services Commissioner, we said, how do we make these buildings into basically testing labs? She thought it was a great idea. We're calling it the Municipal Entrepreneur Testing Service, METS, and we're going to roll it out in the next few months. Now, there might be, you know, some things, say if we're in a long-term contract for light bulbs, maybe the light bulb sockets won't be what we'll be able to use for testing. But almost every city roof, except for the one or two that have green roofs on city buildings, are empty. We could absolutely begin testing solar panels and other devices up there. We're not using the city pipes for anything but pipes. So those immediately could be used for testing devices relevant to water and electricity or things like that. So it might not be every single inch, you know, those sockets that already have light bulbs, but there's endless possibilities. And any amount of testing, which I think will be significant, that happens is testing space that those entrepreneurs now have that will drive them to market more
and
quickly.
I should be as clear as can be, municipal buildings only.
Oh,
city
we're
buildings.
Not coming to your house and taking over your
because
toilet.
Yeah, referencing where I'm sitting, municipal buildings only, so city buildings.
City.
And it's an interesting and intriguing concept.
It's now, city-owned buildings, and they will still function in whatever their priority whatever their real function is, a clinic or
fascinating.
Whatever.
Fascinating concept and proposal by Speaker Quinn. Now let's take a call from Rolf, who's in Borum Hill, Brooklyn. Rolf, you're on with Speaker Quinn.
Hello, Speaker Quinn. This
Hi,
is Rolf Grimstead.
How are you?
Good. I'm a green builder in Brooklyn, New York, who built 93 Nevin Street, which is a project of that.
Okay.
But what I've been concerned about in being a green builder is some of the sort of pressures that are there to not be able to go as far with the green as possible.
What do you mean?
Well, there's innovation is very difficult, and particularly with obstacles from the buildings department.
Okay.
But there's also tax problems in that. I think if we, I mean, this is just a proposal,
sure.
And I think that that if we did brought back 421A and 421B to encourage green building,
mm-hmm.
And tied it to certain
mm-hmm.
green goals.
Mm-hmm.
Within each building, that it would create a lot of construction jobs in an industry that's really hurting, plus have
mm-hmm.
the benefit of creating a lot of green opportunities for the
mm-hmm.
city to deal with, particularly in the 421B where it's renovation,
mm-hmm.
where we have so much stock of old buildings that are very inefficient and very polluting.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that that would be a really good way of incentivizing homeowners and incentivizing commercial builders build green again.
I'm a little tight on time. Speaker Quinn, why don't we get a comment on that?
Sure. I mean, one of our priorities also, and we talked about in the speech, is streamlining inspections, streamlining approvals. We're going to do an innovation review board. We're going to try to better coordinate green approvals. So, Ralph, we'd love to talk to you about your Department of Buildings experience on green stuff, because we really do want to streamline that. You know, I think that's an interesting idea to figure out how to take tax credits. I'm just going to lump it all together to stimulate green development, because that it is an area where the city is not doing as well as other places, and your real life experience as a green developer would be tremendous to us. So if we could talk to you more about all of that, and they can tell you how to get in touch with us.
All right. Now, Speaker Quinn, this is the portion of our conversation where I ask you several quick questions, and you give me several quick answers.
All right.
Okay.
Lightning round. Let's go.
All right. Well, as you know, I'm sure the judge is expected to rule on whether the state Senate acted legally to expel Hiram Monserrat. Do you think the city council would ever vote to expel one of its members?
If we had a city council member who acted in the way that Hiram Monserrat did, yes, I do believe we would take action to expel him from the city council. There's not very little doubt in my mind about that.
All right. How about a question about stop and frisk? New statistics showing that police officers stopped a record 575,000 people last year. 90% of those black and Hispanic stops going up as crime goes down. Is the policy worth it?
It's a big question, and it's something that we've been looking at very closely. We're planning oversight hearings again on that topic in the near future. We're also working with a major researcher who's doing an analysis for us of numerous years' worth of stop and frisk data, so we can get an answer to that question and figure out what the right balance is. So it's a big question. I don't know that I have the final answer yet, but we are going to get to an answer on behalf of this institution very soon. And it's something that we know has to be looked at, because the numbers, as you've laid them out, are so clearly don't add up.
Let's talk about St. Vincent's. You opposed the purchase of St. Vincent's by Continuum Health Partners. And now that they've backed out and no one else has stepped forward, do you regret not negotiating to find a way to make that work?
Absolutely not. The Continuum proposal, and I don't fault Continuum for this, they had every right to put out a proposal that they believed would work for their business and provide health services. It's just not a proposal that works for the lower west side of Manhattan. Having no emergency room from Beekman Place to 59th Street is a disaster. We now are in a place where we have been able to keep the hospital alive for a number of weeks. We have a few more weeks worth of work there. I believe will be conversations that lead us to a place where we will eventually have a partner, and a partner who is interested in keeping the ER and the acute care hospital open. Getting the Continuum proposal taken off the table, and I thank them for hearing the response from the community and withdrawing it, that created the space we're in now, a space where we are working and pushing towards finding a partner who will keep the hospital open. If Continuum had gone, we would never even have had this opportunity, and I'm optimistic because of the tremendous support from all levels of government and from the community, we're going to be successful.
All right. Well, Governor Patterson will officially announce his candidacy for re-election this weekend. Will you be there?
I've had no conversations with the governor about that, so I won't be there.
All right. No, I got a no answer. And then on a lighter note, the New York Knicks made a big trade yesterday. I guess I shouldn't say a lighter note. It depends on your point of view. It frees up a bunch of salary cap space this summer, and that allows them to go after some big free agents. Do you think LeBron James will be a Knick next season?
I don't just think. I'm hoping and have, you know, my fingers and toes crossed that he will. And if he's listening, because I hear he's a big WNYC guy, we're begging him to come. There'll be a big party down at City Hall. We'll make him, you know, the lead citizen of New York. So where else would he want to go? I mean, really.
If you've got your toes crossed, then I'm sure he's going to stick around.
And I'm wearing boots, so it ain't easy.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Speaker Christine Quinn, for being with us today on WNYC.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up next, how Haiti fits into the global human trafficking chain.